God can't tell you a lie. He's not going to say one thing and do something else. He's going to do exactly what he said in his word. He told all of us, if you will obey me, I will bless you and your children. The fruit of your womb, he calls it. But you know what the fruit of your womb are? Is his children, right? But he says, if you do not obey me, I will curse you and your children. The fruit of your womb. Your children. And he did that. And right there is one of the scriptures in Deuteronomy 28:27. He labels and names so many in Deuteronomy 28. He lays out sickness and disease. And all these different kinds of sickness and disease that he will afflict us with if we disobey him. And so he hated that lying. You know, and whenever mother, of course, you know, like I say, they could not figure out what the sin was. They tried. They repented of everything over and over and over. They wanted their little girl to be healed. So they repented. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of everything known and unknown. But God would not forgive them for the sin of lying and deception. You know why I think God would not take known and unknown sins? He wanted Sally to know what she had done that was wrong. Because he didn't want her to do it again. Now then, if we'd have just repented of everything known and unknown, and the little girl got healed, Sally would have never dreamed that her sin of lying and deceiving her husband is what brought it on their daughter, would they? But by doing it like he did it, I mean, this story is going to, there will be millions of people learn this from this story, from this couple. I'm going to tell this story on radio. I'm going to tell it on television. I'm going to show you the pictures. They're telling it everywhere. But we're going to have to learn that in the church, it's sin that's our problem. One of the things when we was having trouble getting Dave healed, I said, Dave, we got to find all the sins and get rid of them. And of course, because his was taking so long, and I mean, he was just getting terrible. And one of the questions I asked Dave, he said, well, Thurman, I've repented of every sin. And I said, Dave, let me ask you a question. I said, I think sometimes we don't know what sin is. Now, this is before Dave had near as much hours in the Word of God as he does now. He was just working on getting healed. I said, Dave, you used to work for a large company in software. Is that right? Yes, yes. I said, did y'all bid your contracts? Oh, yeah. I said, well, when y'all got a contract over somebody else, did y'all gloat over your getting the contract? Well, of course he did. We'd have a party. I said, you know that was a sin? I said, those that gloat over somebody else's misfortune is sin, and you will not go unpunished. Wow. He said, I didn't know that. So you see, how many of us gloat over somebody, even a Christian church, something happens to somebody that you didn't really like and say, I'm glad it happened to him. Have you ever done that as a Christian?
I always say it because it happened to a more deserving fellow.
You need to be careful, Joseph. You need to be careful. But do you all see there are so many things that are sin that we don't know is sin? And that's why we have so much sickness in the church. Because, you know, when we take this promises of God that we have in this book, now then that I've been teaching this for, I don't even know how many years, about 20 years, 18 or 20 years, somewhere along there, many years, I can't even remember when I started this, but I have learned so many things about healing that the average pastor, which has not been called to be a healing pastor, don't know. It's kind of like when one of these guys start talking about eschatology, you know. I mean, I went down to the hotel down here on DFW Airport here one time, and there was a guy, I started to call his name, but I won't. He's a great prophecy, eschatology, end-time teacher. And there was three or four of them down there, and so when I heard they were going to be there for like 3 days, I thought, man, I'll go in the evenings and listen to these guys because that's what they do. I went down and listened. I was very impressed with what I heard about end time things, and I thought, wow, these guys are fantastic. I learned so many things. And then I went up to one of the head guys, which I will not call his name at all, because he's such a great eschatology teacher. I went up and I said, you know, you are a great teacher about end time things. He said, well, Thurman, I've been doing this, you know, for years, you know, so I just study this all the time. I said, what do you think about healing? He said, oh, that went away with the apostles. I thought, I just turned and walked off. No, it was not Irving Baxter. It was not Irving. But, you know, Irving's got a lot of revelation about end time. You know, God's given a lot of men different things. But when this man, which was so knowledgeable about what he taught, when he said, oh, healing went away with the apostles. I thought, my goodness gracious alive. When you look at those pictures and you go out there and look at that little girl, you don't think it went away, huh? No. There's certainly one thing that we wish would have went away with the apostles. And you know what that was?
Sin.
That's exactly right. There, and technically speaking, it did. Sin went away with the apostles. Jesus came and paid the price for our sin so we could die to sin and live unto righteousness. Now then, if we would just stay dead, that's the only problem. If we could just stay dead. You know, when we baptize one, we just don't hold them down long enough, do we? But you know, this couple didn't give up.
Same name
with Dave. Dave didn't give up, you know. Dave stood. And of course, the Lord told Dave, whenever he finally did get healed, it took him 20 months to get healed, not 2 weeks like it did Jenna. Yeah, Jenna got healed completely in 2 weeks. Of course, the overall time, of course, she'd been sick for 7 years. She's 8 years old when she got healed. But she had really, a year and a half ago, in 2007, about March or something like that, April, May, somewhere back in there, about the middle of 2007 is when we first started praying for this little girl. And it was about 2008, the middle of 2008, or whatever it was, last part of 2008, well over a year, that when we finally found the sin. But just like Joseph said, the average Christian, if we even come down and ask for prayer, and this is what blows me away, many Christians, when they get sick, they won't even come to the Lord. They go to a doctor, and you take somebody that's living in some kind of sin, and they go to a doctor, and the doctor tries every medication, maybe surgery and everything else, and they never think about repenting and asking the Lord to heal them. And so they die. So for this couple to be persistent and to stay with it. Now then, if you don't never give up, you find the sin and your healing will be speedily. You know, your healing will be speedily. You know, I've seen God heal people, in fact, standing right here. Just a few months ago, and some of you that are in this room today was here that day, there was a little, 13-year-old boy, is that what he was, honey? A 13-year-old boy which was sitting right over here. No, he was sitting right there. His mother and him and his little sister were sitting right there. And when at the end of the healing school, they came up and I said, what's the problem? And she said, my son here, his eyes will not focus. He can't see. The retina's never developed in the back of his eyes. I always ask the simple question. He's the firstborn, naturally, yes. And he's a boy. Yes, okay. I said, let me ask you this question. So many people break this rule. How much sex did God say you can have before you get married? What's the word say? How much? Now, why don't we believe that? So why does everybody want to have sex before they get married? I mean, almost everybody. I don't care who you are. Young people want to have sex before they get married. So I said, did y'all have sex before you got married? Yes. I said, do you know that's a sin? Yes. She said, we've been listening to your CDs for about 6 months. So we know that's a sin. I said, have you repented of that sin? Yes, we have both repented for that sin. I said, okay, if you repented, does God forgive you? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I'm so grateful to God for His mercy. So anyway, I said, okay, now then that you have both repented, I said, you were born under a curse. Now then, one of the curses in that list of curses in that Deuteronomy 28 is blindness. Blindness. You know, and so that's the curse the little boy had been struck with because of mother and dad's sin. 28:28. In fact, you might just throw that up for today since you're right there. Just put that next one there, verse 28. That one, you notice, said the Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt. But verse 28, let's see what 28:28 says. And it says, the Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now, again, who's it say he's going to do that to you?
The Lord.
Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it, Joseph? And it's in capital letters, isn't it? The Lord will smite you. Now, what is it we don't understand when people say, you know, God doesn't do this. There's no sickness in heaven. There may not be none in heaven, but he sure knows how to afflict you on earth with it. You know, sickness comes from the Lord. He's the one that done it. I mean, it's always been that way in the Scripture. So anyway, I told the mother, I said, after y'all are under a curse, I said, so now then that you have repented, there is a wonderful promise in Galatians 3:13 and 14. And I want you to see this. In other words, after the sin has been repented of, this is what's available in Galatians 3:13. Look at this. Christ, what does the word hath mean? He already has done it. That's what hath means. Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So how do you receive everything from God? By faith. You believe it. It's written. You believe it. I said, okay, now that you and your husband have repented for your sin, I said, Jesus has redeemed this boy from the curse. In other words, redeemed means he's paid the price for it. It's already paid for by the Savior. So I said, I now rebuke the spirits that have attacked his eyes from birth. I command those spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. Now then, as sons and daughters of God, how much power do we have over the devil? Isn't that good news? We have all power. Now, as long as the devil has no legal claim to you, you can kick him out. Now, if you got a sin in your life and he has legal claim to you, you're going to have trouble getting him out. Or you might eventually get him out with enough faith. But when they walk out the door, if the sin's there, he's coming back. Ain't no problem. You know, you can't get rid of him. If he knows he's got legal right to you, hey, he's going to beat up on you every day of your life. That's what his job is. That's what God made him for. And he does a good job.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.